No way. It's already the second. There's been like thousands already.
No. I meant in the clinical research space.
Even then, probably
not. Really, you think?
I don't know.
Yeah. Okay, how about the hardest working podcasters in the clinical research space?
Yeah, and we may be the hardest working podcasters in the clinical research space. We will not stop, especially you, man. You're an animal.
I do way
your
too many.
Your clients must be very happy with you.
I'm trying. Hopefully they stay happy. That's the whole goal, right? They know I work with the Dan Safara, not a Dan Safara, just the Dan Safara.
Well, if anything, that's a liability for your clients. I know who they are. So what's been new?
Well, several things that are new. I think everyone's trying to figure out what 2025 holds with Trump, as we all know, and it's becoming confusing and it's becoming interesting. I can officially announce that the press release is coming out hopefully by tomorrow, but officially announce that Edie Edens is part of our team. So we're expanding that. We're bringing on some more people. We're actually helping sites get organized as well. So that's happening. What are we doing in terms of, I'm having a discussion right now. Here's a question for you.
Yeah.
I'm having a discussion as we speak on whether Pixis, the FDA cited Pixis. Do you know what Pixis is? Okay.
What is it? So, Pixar? I know Pixar.
Not Pixar. Pixis. It's essentially if you go into a hospital, right? There are these automated machines, and you have to put in a code, and it opens up medication for a specific patient, and so you can use it in clinical research. You can use it in the it's basically a medicine cabinet. FDA cited Pixis saying, "Hey, it's a defective medical device. You guys don't have all these policies and procedures we expect you to have." Blah 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 blah. And I'm having a discussion with someone going, I think the FDA is actually out of its jurisdiction. Just because something involves medicine doesn't make it within the FDA's jurisdiction. And she disagrees. She's like, why would the FDA waste this time? I was like, because the FDA does this all the time. Whether we're talking about clinical research, whether we're talking about drug advertising, whether we talk about compounding, you see the FDA trying to work in the best interest of patients, but that alone doesn't give you jurisdiction just because you want it to. And it's easier to comply, so people will comply, but that doesn't mean that they're right. So what do you think? Do you think a medicine cabinet should be part of the FDA's jurisdiction?
Like a virtual medicine cabinet? Or like,
what do you mean by virtual? It's an electronic a digital medicine cabinet.
I mean, if those medications are FDA approved, or if those supplements
FDA approved medicine.
Yeah, but I think they have better things to do. I mean, what are they looking at a digital cabinet for?
Well, they're saying that it failed, so people couldn't get medicines out during like OR visits and stuff like that. So in the OR,
so like supply chain issues, logistics.
Exactly.
I mean, no, they're supposed to be for safety, not necessarily for like project management or logistics.
Yeah, that's where I'm going. I don't see how the FDA gets jurisdiction just because they want it. That's not how this works.
Right, and what are they gonna do with it, even if they have that jurisdiction? Like, at the end of the day, they're a bureaucracy. Like, what are they actually gonna do? The problem with those supply chains is probably more bureaucracy.
Wait, what? You keep saying supply chains. What do you mean by the word supply chains here?
So you're saying in the OR, like the operating room, people are not getting their medications when they need them, right?
So sort of. So think of it this way. It's basically it's used in so many different places in the hospital. I could name fewer places that it's not used. But let's say you're on the floor, right? You're on the floor in a regular nursing unit, and patient Dan Safara has gone to the hospital. He needs his lisinopril. So lisinopril should only be given at 5 p.m. So that bin, which has maybe 30 lisinoprils, doesn't open up until 5 p.m.
Oh no, that's crazy. This should be opened whenever you need it.
Well, so that you can do that emergency override. But the idea is that the nurse doesn't make a mistake and pull out the wrong medicines at the wrong time.
I don't think the FDA should be in charge of that.
I don't see why the FDA gets jurisdiction over that.
Yeah, that should be a hospital thing. That should be, you know, let them manage themselves. If they have lawsuits, they have enough incentive to keep that from.
Correct. Go out. I'm saying, I think it's Beckett who manufactures it. I have to double check that.
Yeah.
I think it's great, but I think that it's far outside the scope. I'm going to pull up.
Yeah, we need less of a nanny state at all times. Like, let the businesses handle it. Yes, greed is there, but so is the incentives of selfishness. Like, it's not always a bad thing for these companies to be looking out for their best interests, because a lot of times their best interest is, let's avoid liability. Actually, most of the time, their interest, especially in the hospital cases, let's avoid getting sued. Let's follow the book. Let's establish our own protocols. Here we go. Back so to, hey, by the way, shout out to Elizabeth Tabor, SOS panelist.
Hi, Elizabeth.
Fellow SOS panelist. Darshan will be on there too.
I will be on there as well. I was just actually getting ready to do my bookings and stuff.
Ah.
I want to be there.
Pro move. I did mine in 2024 to get the tax write-off.
I should have thought of that, actually.
Good yeah. Now you got to wait for 2025 tax write-offs, and because it's January, you're going to probably forget, unless you're organized.
I'm organized enough to do it.
Strike me as an organized person. So here's another warning letter.
So this is the warning letter for Pyxis. That's the one I'm talking about.
Ah, okay. And how
do they're saying
Pyxis Med Station. Okay. Okay.
And they're saying you should have a quality system regulation. Wait, are we now going after furniture manufacturers too for not having quality system regulation? Like, you need to have a CAPA process. Like,
yeah, next warning letter will go to Ashley Furniture.
Exactly. Is it going to Ashley Furniture? I was like, so now you're going to start saying, you know what, the car that drove the doctor to the OR.
Let me ask you a question, man.
Yeah.
And I want your honest take, not the bullshit like 2021. You know, let's not piss people off answer.
Okay,
I want 2025, you can say whatever the fuck you want
answer. Okay, let's see where this takes us.
These regulators,
yeah,
you interact with them.
Yeah,
I know it's hard to brush them all with one wide brush stroke, but Are there not some who go on power trips merely because they have that badge behind them?
Oh yeah, of course.
And they just look
for anyone, right?
Well, it's true for anyone.
Lawyers as well. I'll say that for
everyone. Yeah. But do government agencies not attract more of this type than private industry?
I think it's not a government industry thing. It's a power thing. And what I mean by that is, once you realize you have the power to do something, you just think that it's your power. It's not coming from a place of knowledge. It's coming from a place of power. And I think that's the problem. So I'll give you a lawyer example. And this happens to me every so often. I need to be careful of it when I advise people. Sometimes it's coming from, here's what you need to do. And I've done the same issue like 15 times. And just someone's coming to me with, oh, what about this? And I'm like, look, we've done this like 15 times. Why are we wasting each other's time here? But the truth is, what I really should be doing is listening. And I should be going, okay, walk me through why you think it's different. And then I need to be able to address that in the same way. I think that you'll see this with government workers as well, where they're saying, look, this is our jurisdiction. And they've been challenged so often, they're used to being challenged often. So they just sort of say, because I said so. And that's really what's happening. It's basically parents going, because I said so.
Yeah.
Sometimes said so is not good enough. And this is an example.
I said so is good for parents and kids. It's not necessarily good for our country and its businesses. I don't think that's the same relationship. You know, as a parent, you're responsible for your children to become adults. As a country, you're responsible for everyone to be safe within as little regulatory means as possible. At least the thesis of this country is bare minimum regulations, as long as it keeps everyone safe. Minimal effective dose of the regulations. You don't just regulate.
You're very libertarian with that, aren't you?
Yeah, but
I'm not blaming you. This is not coming from a place of it's coming from a place of, I think a certain amount of regs are necessary. And you're saying that too. The only question we're deferring on is, what is that minimum amount? I think we're more regulated than we need to be, but I don't think that means the same thing as people think. And what I mean by that is, for every person who goes, we have too many regulations, I have just that many number of people going, I wish I knew what to do, because without that information, I'm not going to do it.
Sure. Like Brad and Chris, you know, we had our SOS local chapter meetup in San Diego, and we had a podcast. It's out right now. You could go watch it. Tech Vendor gets to ask four site owners any questions they want.
Right.
And one of the themes that kept coming up from the site owners is, I wish we had more clarity on.
Right. Exactly.
You know, which that wasn't me, by the way. I don't actually wish for that. I kind of think that the ambiguity is in our favor.
Ambiguity is often in your favor.
Yeah.
And that comes from the Fox v. FCC decision, which basically said that was the Janet Jackson nipple case, for those people who don't remember. It was a Supreme Court case.
Everyone could go Google that if they
don't need to. Google Janet Jackson nipple. just Google Fox v. FCC. But what it came down to was if the government doesn't tell you what not to do, they can't blame you for not doing it. So
if the government, yeah, exactly right. So, and the gray areas where like the opportunities are, right? Like, you don't actually want more clarity from the FDA. They don't have the solutions, by the way. These are not people that come up with solutions. If they were, they would work in industry, they would innovate. The FDA's role is not to come up with solutions. The FDA's role is to keep people safe.
Correct.
At the end of the day. So I have a very strong opinion on this. And yeah, like the site owners asking for more clarity, I mean, you're actually asking for more regulations.
You are. By literally doing that, you are asking for more regulation.
So we're on the same page then. Me and Darshan see eye to eye on this. I like that you're opening up more, man. Although you had a very like political way of like not answering the question, but
I never. You have to, as a lawyer, I may have to defend the other side one day. And now I'm just like,
sure.
I'm just going to use my words against me.
I've met awesome people from FDA. Actually, Pat Stone is a good friend.
Yeah,
but he left. I mean, I think, and even he would probably agree with me. Like those who can do, don't work there. Like you. Your talent, if you have enough talent, maybe you have a stint at the FDA, but you don't stay there. What is there? What is so appealing that it attracts you other than the virtue signaling of we're going to keep people safe? Well, that's just really the wrapping. That's the wrapping on the foil. Like, that's not the actual substance.
Well, that's one view of it. I know people who genuinely think that they're making life better for people. And I think that you and I may not be driven in the same way.
Yeah.
But I've come to appreciate, I'm not that person. I wish I was, but I'm not. But there are people who genuinely are in it to help people's lives. And I'm glad those people exist.
Sure, but what percentage do you think they actually are?
I would actually say they're probably two peaks. There's the one peak of people who are incredibly incompetent and they come in because they have no other option and the government will hire a lot of people.
And those ones are getting slashed because of Doge?
Yeah, those hopefully are the ones getting slashed because of Doge. But even Doge, you might still need those roles filled. Right. Because some roles just need to be filled. And then there's this
brings
other
the H-1B, man.
H-1B. Oh, we'll talk about H-1B next. That shit's going crazy, isn't it? The second one is people who are brilliant and they're there. And you'll see these guys who like topped Harvard and they're there because they genuinely believe that they're changing people's lives. And you want those people there as well.
Well, there's two different types of brilliant, I would say. Like there's brilliant at textbook and then there's brilliant application market says it's brilliant. Two different types. I think there's another element to it. Yeah, what's the other?
To me, the word brilliant, I wasn't talking about application versus not. I was talking, do you see more options than the average person? So if you see a problem, if you see no options, you're one level of brilliant. You're one level of smart. Yeah. You see two options, three options. These people are seeing 15.
Okay, but if there's such brilliant people there, how come diversity, there's no solution for it? And the FDA came out and said this is a safety issue to have more underserved representation in our studies.
Yeah.
So why, if they can regulate so well and they're so brilliant, how come they haven't had a solution there?
Do you have for safety? I don't understand the question.
Yeah. Like, so this diversity thing has been an issue for what? Since
for decades.
I remember getting
it. Yeah, exactly. Uh-huh.
The FDA has come out and said, I think it was last year, maybe the year before, we're mandating there's still no solutions. So if there's such brilliant people there that are inspired by safety, and diversity is a safety issue.
Sure.
How come there's no solution there?
Well, I don't think a solution is it's like saying, why is there no treatment to cancer? Just because you say that you want a treatment doesn't mean that you're going to get a treatment. It means you have to make incremental changes.
Right.
So I think that you are getting better. Having these guidances in place, having the law that you need to enable you to do that, all of those need to come into place. In 2 years, you're not going to solve a problem that's plagued us for 40. And even if you did, the people are going to disagree on whether it actually solves the problem, because every solution is a compromise. So every time you say, I need this, you're going to make someone else get pissed off. So it's not as easy as why is there no solution. There is a solution. If the FDA tomorrow just came in and mandated you need, I'm making this up, you need 50,000 people in of diverse types in your trials. And that's not how this works, but let's say they did. Every lawyer in the world would sue them, going, how the hell did you come up with that? So there's a solution, but it wouldn't stand up to judicial scrutiny. So it all comes down to, what is the solution? Is it reasonable? Just because you're brilliant doesn't mean that you can solve society.
Right, but you would think if it's an effective system, there would have been some change in these decades.
But there have been changes. There have been multiple changes.
What's a few good, like, good ones?
I mean, the fact that the guidance just came out, the fact that the laws were passed, the fact that we're now seeing sponsors at least explore this issue, which wasn't happening before, the fact that women are now included in trials when we used to avoid women in trials because...
That's crazy.
It happened, but... Yeah. I mean, the logic was clear. Hmm. The logic was, you want only one variable at any given time.
Right.
Women go through hormonal cycles, and as a result, you just have multiple variables. And I don't know how to adjust for that. And the FDA said, yeah, get over it. Figure it out. And the answer is, okay.
They're not as bad as other regulators in the world, but they're, you know, they can always have... They can always be better. Yeah.
But better always comes with compromises.
Yeah.
I would tell you that every regulator...
Elizabeth said, I believe FDA is in a tricky position trying to create regulations that protect the public while ensuring they aren't so stringent that they eliminate state autonomy.
That's generally true.
The states regulate who can administer medications and what licenses are required for that. But we never hear of the state auditing a site, right? Like,
I see states auditing, for example, states audit in the case of compounding. You have FDA and states going all the time and auditing the same place. You see states going in and auditing doctor's offices, for example. So it may not be in the context of clinical research, but you will see doctors being audited. So,
Sure. Just not sites. Elizabeth said, I believe there's a misconception that brilliance is only attributed to those solving big picture issues.
Good point.
While the contributions of those working on smaller pieces often go unnoticed, the people driving current solutions are often seen as big thinkers, big picture thinkers, but they may overlook how each small piece fits into a larger puzzle and how that ultimately impacts reaching the community. I agree. However, I think if you are in this camp of like a problem solver, the last place you want to go is a bureaucracy like the FDA. You're not going to be able to push and get anything through. Whereas if you start your own thing, you've got really no one stopping you. Like, you can go make these even small solutions. So I just think the type of person that these bureaucracies attract are not necessarily problem solved. They're box checkers. I think you're being too harsh. Maybe. But and if they are, they end up leaving.
So here's the thing. We can get it. So this is what happens when you and I talk, because it's so much fun. we haven't gotten to the whole H-1B conversation, which is a fun conversation to get into. That's next time, because we're going to have to pull it pretty short.
I think you and I see eye to eye on that one.
Oh, really? I'd be curious on playing that out a little bit more. But okay, so that's one. But we were just talking about, what was the thing you just mentioned?
Working at bureaucracies, you're not really...
Oh, bureaucracy. So there's a whole group of people who are saying that if you leave the FDA, you should not be allowed to work in private industry.
Right. Regulatory capture.
Exactly. Regulatory capture. Yeah. The question is, we're saying on one hand that they're brilliant. We're saying that they don't want to stay there. We're saying that they should have that government experience. But we're also saying they can't leave. Well, how is that helpful?
Right.
So what we can't talk out of both sides of our mouth. Do we want those brilliant people to leave, start their own businesses, help industry comply? Are we saying we don't want that?
Somebody should be watching the conflicts of interest.
Okay, and what
the people of the people being accused of regulatory capture are not the low level people that are just looking for.
Okay, let's take someone high level. We don't want to name names, but let's say Scott someone. Gottlieb. Okay, let's take Scott Gottlieb. Just
both of our boys. He followed us on Twitter. He's a, whatever. He's cool.
He's a cool guy. He's a smart guy. Yeah. Very smart guy. But my point is, why do you see it as a conflict?
Potential conflict. I'm not accusing him of any wrongdoing.
Sure. Okay. But why do you see it as a potential conflict?
So he's regulating. He's basically in charge of ultimately, you know, let's say Pfizer, right?
Yeah.
Pfizer, do you get this vaccine approved? Pfizer, do you get this whatever? J&J, do you get this
approved?
And in the process, he's
but ultimately. But that's like saying that it's not like he sits around signing these things.
Of course not.
There's someone else who's doing that.
But you can tell me he has no influence.
Oh, he absolutely has influence.
Correct.
But there are also other sides that have influence as well.
Sure. There's supposedly checks and balances, you hope.
Correct.
I mean, I believe there are.
Sure.
In a bureaucracy, you're not going to be accused of not having checks and balances. But you can see where the logic goes. Well, it's very easy for him to do all these Zooms with Pfizer and J&J every day.
He's not doing it prior to.
Well, he's having meetings with AdCom meetings. What do they call them? AdCom, where the drug companies
advertising committees? Sure.
And then when he's ready to hang it up at FDA, Pfizer says, hey, you know what? I mean, we like you. You know, you can join our board.
If you're Scott Gottlieb, you don't have, like, a worry about what job you're going to get. You're going to get any job you want.
But a board is not, you're the one who taught me, Darshan. A board is not a job. A board is basically passive income.
It is not passive income. I've served so many boards. It is so not passive income.
Okay, you didn't serve on Pfizer board.
I did not.
You show up once a year.
Multiple times a
quarter. Once a quarter.
Oh, yeah, sure.
Put out a fire. And if you're Scott Gottlieb, what's the fire? Well, they're giving us a problem. You know any of your old colleagues there? Yeah, don't worry, Bob.
That's not how that works. No. So
I don't know, man.
I mean, I'm sure that could happen, but not generally speaking, the way it would work is you're going, I'm choosing between this disease state and this disease state for this drug. Where do you think our money should go?
Sure.
And the CEO
would say, well, and he has a history of.
Yeah.
And
that's
then
exactly why you're paying Scott Gottlieb to be on your board, because you're going, I would need that insight.
But what's a little bit further than that?
Okay.
Oh, cool. Okay, Scott. Hey, if we run into issues, do you actually know Bob? Yeah. I can
talk to Bob, but Bob still has to make his decision on his own.
Sure, but Bob could take him out to eat and have a
drink. don't take out your vendors to eat, or your vendors don't take you out to eat? Do they have influence on you?
Vendors, no, they sponsored me. But
Exactly. Yeah. So how is that different? Do they have an influence?
Well, everybody knows. I tell everybody, hey, I'm sponsored.
He's telling you he literally serves on the board for Pfizer. He's telling you as well.
Right. But people have issues with that because it's
done. I don't think it's a conflict of interest.
There's not much transparency in those, like, at that level. Like, they're not vlogging. Has Scott Gottlieb ever made a vlog or discussed on a daily basis what he's doing? Like,
we do need to leave this conversation. I need people to actually come out and tell us, do you think that's a conflict? Because I don't see that being a conflict. I love the fact that
I see it as a conflict, but I don't necessarily think it should be banned either. Like, I don't go that far. But I do think people should be aware.
You're saying more transparency is your point.
I think people need to be aware. Like, there's a huge cohort of people that just think everything functions properly and there's no issues in the system. And that's not the case.
But that's like saying networking, right? It's like saying, you know what? Everyone gets their job if they post onto Monster. I don't know what people post on.
Monster. That's like some 04, man. Oh, my God.
I don't remember jobs.
I remember Monster. Jeez. It's probably still around.
Probably
worth a couple billy.
Yeah, but anyway, so the point being, no, most people are getting their jobs because they know someone. That doesn't make it a conflict. That just means that's what you did.
Sure, but in this case, it's getting a drug approved and getting profits and getting stock options. And it's
this is also you're getting a livelihood and you're getting paid, and it could be thousands, if not hundreds of thousands, if not billions of dollars for a job. So it's the same thing.
And not quite, because the ultimate purpose is the regulatory agency to keep the public safe.
The ultimate purpose is getting the guy to hire you.
Yeah, the ultimate purpose is enriching themselves. You said it.
Like, we got to talk. I got to get jumped. We disagree.
I love debating attorneys. It's my favorite hobby.
It's so much fun.
As long as they're not in the courtroom, they're trying to kick my ass.
Guru podcast.
That's right. And Darshan Kulkarni Nation, everybody go follow Darshan Talks. You've been doing a good job, man.
Thank you, sir.
I like it, man.
Stay tuned. We're going to do this again.
Subscribe, comment, share. 2025. Let's roll.